We have a whole lot of gospel to talk about. Could you just pray for me for a moment that I'll focus on the things that the Lord wants me to focus on, and I'll pray that you're able to hear what he wants to say to you. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Before I forget, I'd just like to take also just a moment to remember Father Tom, and who just lost his mother, and her. If we could just pray for them for a moment. Lord, be with Father Tom in this difficult time for him and his family. Console them, be present to them. Help them to see you clearly in everything that happens, and give them great hope in what you have prepared for those who love you. Receive Father Tom's mother into your eternal embrace. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. We continue to hear the gospel from the Sermon on the Mount, the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7. And this is one of those gospels that in priest speak, priests are tempted to give a moralizing homily. Jesus tells us these things that we shouldn't do, and it's real easy for a priest to stand up here and say, wag my finger at you a little bit. Yeah, do you hear that? Stop that. And you know how much impact that has? Yeah, right. Zero. I can maybe stir up a little bit of Catholic guilt and make you feel bad about the fact that you got angry and, you know, yelled at your spouse, or the fact that maybe your eyes were wandering and caught some beautiful woman, or, you know, maybe that you've got some long-standing grudge against your brother, and maybe one or two of you, if I preach that way, would actually be moved. You're kind of on the verge of it, and that's like, oh, Father said it, now I've got to go and put this into action. And that's wonderful, and I'm all in favor of that. But I think when we look at the law and the teaching of Jesus, what really matters, so think of the difference. If you're sitting there going, okay, I'm basically unwilling to change, I'm pretty set in my life, I've been living this life for a whole long time, and there's not much that Father's going to say, unless there's something really spectacular that's happening here that's really going to change my life. And okay, so if I listen to the gospel, I listen to the homily from that perspective, yeah, you know, maybe something gets a little stirred up, something gets reminded, something gets, you know, maybe there's a little bit that happens there, and I continue moving on the way I was living. Now think of another perspective. I just fell in love with Jesus again. I just discovered him in a personal way that I realize I can communicate with the God of the universe, the one who created everything and who walked among us. And I really know him, even so much that when I hear his name and I hear somebody speak about him, gets my heart moving a little bit, because I go, yeah, Jesus, that's my friend. That's the one that I just really got to know, that I have this relationship with, and he's amazing. And the way that he loves me and that he's redeemed me, and I want to be like him. I want to do whatever he wants me to do. I don't want to just live this life in my own way according to what other people are doing. I want to live like him. And now I'm thirsty. How do I live like him? That's the burning question in my heart. How do I become more like him? I want to fall more in love with Jesus. I want to follow him more closely. That's discipleship. You in the Diocese of Pittsburgh make me envious, because what's happening right now in the Diocese of Pittsburgh is, from the top down or from the center out or however you want to describe it, a full-scale shift from moralizing, finger-wagging, blah, 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 to falling in love with Jesus and really following him. Discipleship, a movement to discipleship. Jesus was speaking these words of the Sermon on the Mount to disciples, to those who followed him. He didn't stand in the middle of the city saying these words. He was out on a mountain. He was out on a hill. Nobody was listening to him except those who had become fascinated with him already, who were looking to him for something different, who believed that he could actually change their lives. Those are the people who can listen to this homily of Jesus, which goes on for pages and pages, much longer than I'm going to preach. They could listen to the homily of Jesus and get stirred up. Wow, is it really possible to love that way? Is it possible to be free of this anger? Is it possible to be free of this lust? Is it possible to really reconcile with my brother? The theme in today's homily from Jesus, or this part of the homily from Jesus, is what's happening in my heart. It's one thing to stop myself from saying the nasty thing that came to my mind and that's been festering there for a while about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. It's one thing to stop myself from saying that thing about Uncle John or Aunt Susie, but it's another thing to actually clear that out of my heart. Jesus tells us that we can be transformed from within. Not only do I not say it, it doesn't even show up there to begin with, because my heart is filled with him. I don't know if you were paying attention to it. I have to admit, I'm really bad at paying attention to the prayers that we offer, unless I'm the one who's saying it. And I'm the only one here who's saying a lot of these prayers, so it doesn't give us a high percentage chance of listening. But our opening prayer was really powerful. In our opening prayer, we said, O God, who teach us that you abide in hearts that are just and true, grant that we may be so fashioned by your grace as to become a dwelling place, a dwelling pleasing to you. God abides in hearts that are just and true. Does he abide in your heart? Well, there's lots of just and true people here. You have lots of, justice has to do with goodness. He has such a good heart. We say that. He's so honest. That's a heart that's true. God is there. But do we know his presence? Do we know the life of Jesus dwelling in us? Do we know his voice? Do we really seek him? Not just once in a big conversion moment, but in a daily basis to say, Lord, how should I live? What now? What do you want me to do? What a difference it would make if we're all just living on that first conversion and the kind of embers of discipleship that started when we were baptized or confirmed. Oh, Jesus has so much more for us. What did we hear from St. Paul? No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him, because the Spirit of God searches the depths of God. Do you ever wonder what's in the depths of God? I bet it's pretty amazing. Are we even fascinated by that anymore? It's so wonderful to be fascinated by that. And that's what the Lord invites us to do. A parish should be a school of discipleship. What are we coming here to receive? I need my weekly lesson. I need my weekly homily from Jesus. I need that encounter with him to stir me up so that I can live with him every day, so that I can follow him and be fascinated again by him, so that I can think a little bit about heaven, which is so much more interesting than thinking of so many things on earth. And just a few moments about heaven, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. The best things that I can imagine fall short of the reality of heaven. So go wild Imagine it as beautiful and as amazing as you possibly can, and you still fall short, but you're on the right track. That's what the Lord invites us to do. I want to be part of that group. I want to be part of that communion, that company of saints and angels. How can I live a little bit more like that today? How can I have Jesus abiding in my heart a little bit more today? That's what the Mass invites us to. And we can kind of amble along in life, but we're going to hit those moments that nobody else has any wisdom for us except for Jesus. That's the kind of place that Father Tom's in right now. Nobody else can speak to what he's going through except for Jesus. No number of psychologists and no number of sociologists and no number of positive thinkers and whatever else can really speak to what he's going to in letting go of his mother physically and coming into a deeper communion with her spiritually as she disappears into the mystical body of Christ, whom we love and receive in the Eucharist. Let's not miss the opportunity to take a step forward today in discipleship and to renew the fascination that we should have with Jesus and invite him again today to the center of our lives, that we can live each moment, each day of this week with him and keep asking him, Lord, how can I be more like you? Lord, teach me to follow you more closely.